Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with real Japanese matcha, perfect for hot or cold brewing. Matcha is rich in vitamin C, catechins, EG, CGs, and L-theanine. Enjoy a delicious matcha latte or smoothie with this convenient green tea powder made from Japan's treasured matcha, finely milled from high-quality green tea leaves. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Itoan using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
We got some harmonies on that one.
That's right.
This is going to be a really fun one. I'm excited because there's going to be some really juicy stories we're going to tell in this show. So I've got one of my dearest besties here, Julie Solomon. Give it up for Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Woo, woo. And then, of course, Jen and Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
And
yeah, that's right, Mark.
Okay. No.
Yeah, give us
just
a clap.
Just one little step.
Jana takes us for granted, Jen.
I know.
I don't take you guys for granted at all.
Well.
At all.
We don't get applause.
No.
I'm sorry. Well, because you guys are
old news.
You're the regs, and Julie's like, she's my guest, you know, our guest.
I'm the guest.
You're the guest of honor.
Yes.
So do you want to? Because I feel like we walked into like something and you wanted to share it on air. So
oh.
I have no idea what you want to share. But
well, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah.
Right now? Right
yeah.
now.
Okay. I mean, what I said too is I said, are you sure you want to share it on air?
Yeah. I'm, you know.
Because it has to do with divorce.
It does. It has to do with divorce. I had my last mediation appointment, I guess. You'd call it
okay
with him or
with him and the mediator.
So you didn't go through a lawyer. You guys wanted to sit down, mediate, use a mediator,
which I think was a great experience.
Why?
I do.
Why that versus lawyer?
Because the clause didn't come out. It's all about communicating and having somebody there to mediate.
That's healthy.
You know, it was.
We will have lawyers if that happens, Michael. I don't want to talk to you.
Once again, my pessimistic wife just loves to prepare for the worst.
Mediation,
the way to
every,
go.
Every, you know, when it was mediation day the night before, I'd be like, oh, God, I have to go in there and, you know. Yeah,
but
best
behavior. Well, that's the thing. You don't want to look bad to the mediator, right?
Right.
Like you kind of want to be like, no, it's okay. You can have the lake house.
Right. It's like, here you go.
Yeah.
What else can I give you?
Right.
Anyways, so we are wrapping it up and we're actually signing the deals. I'm calling them deals.
So like, this is what you get. This is what you get. This is what the time I get with Rocco.
Right. These are the
to
holidays.
Catch you up, she's got a 6-year-old boy named Rocco too. So.
And.
What did you do for holidays? Sorry.
We switch. Easter's very important to him and his family. So, you know, that's something that he gets. I always get Halloween.
Oh my God.
that's written in. Yeah. And
you get every other holiday. Just give me Halloween. Yeah. You got it.
Done.
He's like, done, sign.
And then we switch back and forth for, you know, the holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving yeah. every other year. Mm-hmm. Or we've been really flexible with each other when it comes to holidays mm-hmm. anyways. You know, if he really wants them for Thanksgiving because his family has something going on, I'm okay with that.
That's cool.
You know, we communicate really well when it comes to Rocco. And then we have no communication other than that. Which
so
is
what
good.
Happened?
That's good. So we're wrapping up and he says, oh, I have one more thing that I would like to put into the paperwork.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what?
Is the mediation one session?
Or is no, it multiple?
Okay.
It's multiple.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
It's
okay.
multiple. About five.
Okay.
And then you have like a financial mediation too. Like that's all part of it.
That's all part okay. of it. So I'm like, what is he, what's he going to ask for? Everything has been done. Like the house is done. Like everything.
Oh my
he
gosh.
Says, so I would like to put it in the paperwork that she has to switch her name back.
What? His?
Yeah. I want my name back.
Oh, so you have to go back to your maiden name.
Right. But you can't do that. So I started laughing because it just made me, I was like,
well, that's
is
an
this
interesting...
real? I was like, am I? This is real. I'm not dreaming, right? This that's isn't like a.
Interesting.
Well, it's interesting,
what
though.
What a great debate. What was his like intention of?
Well, he doesn't think I deserve the last name. You know, like the whatever perks he thinks might come along with it. I'm not sure.
You can't claim to be me.
Right. But the thing is I, number one, have a son with the last name, and I would like to keep the last name because it makes things more cohesive and it's easier when right. it comes to school or travel or medical, whatever, emergencies.
I agree with that.
Anything.
Can you then say, well, can we change Rocco's last name?
Yes.
That's what I would say.
I said that, and I also said, I have established a career over the last 18 years under this name.
Yeah.
And for me to go back to my maiden, there are, you know, it's just not that easy.
It's such
not,
a pain to change your name too. Even if you want to change it on your rapid
right.
rewards, you're going to have to send in your
yes.
divorce decree. It's
Can you
so
imagine?
Annoying.
Also, my license as a psychologist, I'm under, you know, that last name. There's so many levels of, you know, that I would have to change so much. It would take
well,
me
what
forever.
What did he say when you said the Rocco thing? We're changing
Nothing.
Rocco's last
he
name.
He didn't even acknowledge that.
Well, I would push for that, if anything.
Well, then she said, well, you have no control over.
The mediator said that.
Yeah. If somebody changes their name or not. And he said, well, what if I sue her to drop the last name? And she said, I have no idea. I've been working in family court for 25 years as an attorney. I've never had this question.
Wow.
But what would be the grounds of suing?
I don't know. He doesn't own the last name.
Right. He can't.
It's
legally your name.
Yeah, but they're not legally married anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Her name is legally.
Yeah. But they're not legally married.
That has nothing to do with her name.
How not, though?
But because like, the name is not attached to the marriage.
Right.
You
it's
have,
something
but see,
you
that
do.
Doesn't
it's
make sense to me. So I'm being like marriage. Devil's advocate to all this. So it
right.
doesn't make sense
but
to me.
But it's two separate things. Like when you go to a marriage, you have a license and paperwork for that. When you go to change your name, whether you ever become married to someone or not, like if I wanted to go and change my name to something tomorrow, I would have to go and file certain paperwork right. and get a certain license yeah. for that name. Those are two completely separate things. Just because they happen to have the same last name because they were married has no contingency on.
But shouldn't it though?
No.
Why?
I don't think so.
Because it's there's no ownership. There's no like intellectual property.
Guys, don't yell at me. I'm just asking questions.
Think about the couples that the female doesn't change her name.
Right.
Like that doesn't mean they're not married because she doesn't
right.
change her
like
name.
Like my last name's Solomon, legally.
Legally, you didn't change it to Sheck?
No.
Because you never changed it to Sheck.
Never. It's such a pain. I didn't want to do it. Now, when I have a email that is Sheck, and when I go to any kind of preschool-related
right.
things with Camden,
yeah, but how do you do
I'm
that?
Sheck. I just say my name's Julie Sheck, but legally on my driver's license, it is Solomon.
But what about like in her defense, when she's like, when we go to the hospital and stuff, when they show the thing, well, you're not, your last name's not Sheck, so are you really the parent?
Yeah, that's never been a problem. Like when I go to the airport, it says Julie Solomon, and then he's Camden Sheck. And
you don't mind being a different last name than your son?
Mm-mm. I've been married before Jonathan,
yeah.
and it was such a pain to go through that process. Yeah. Like, I feel your pain with mm-hmm. that to go through the process of changing a name, I just said, like, legally, I'll never do that again. And right. now I've established, you know, I have a business, just everything that you, that right. you say when you establish yourself with a certain name. But yeah, I don't see, there's no money, like there's no intellectual property or any kind of
it's not trademarked.
Monetary. Yeah. It's like, I don't understand what his, other than just kind of like sounding spiteful.
It is.
I don't
it's
really
bitter.
Understand yeah. his point.
I mean, I will say, I mean, that's hard. But so my mom, you know, she's, you know, she's always been Kramer. Mm-hmm. She was married to my father for 15, 20 years. But she's also been, but I'm like, Mom, why didn't you ever go back to Kaufman? She's like, because Kramer is who is my name. It's right. my last name. You guys are Kramers. I'm like, yeah, but you're not. So I didn't understand why she didn't go back to like her maiden name, because I would run back to my maiden name. Mm-hmm. Not like, no offense, but like they can't pronounce your last name, so that's why I use Kramer.
People are stupid. No,
that's why I kept my name too. I know, but no one can say or pronounce Sheck.
Yeah, right. It's, I mean, so annoying. And then also with his, like Coffin, I'm like C-A-U-S-S as in Sam, I-N, and we check into this place this last weekend, is it Coffin? I'm like, this is why I don't use your last name ever. And
she only
like,
used it once, but the rest of the weekend I was, hey, Mr. Kramer.
which
and I just own it
him.
Now. I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah, hey.
But
nice
I mean, because legally, yes, I am Cossin, and I would want, and if we, here's the pessimist, if we were to get divorced, you know, I would then maybe ask Jolie to change it to Kramer.
Wouldn't happen.
No.
Wouldn't happen.
That's her. There's a lot of traditional elements that go with
but
this.
But I'm her when, mom, Julie.
Yeah, but she, traditionally, well, I mean, the child takes the name of the father, traditionally.
Right.
Traditionally, the wife takes the name.
What is traditional in this day and age?
Exactly. Right. Like, when my mom divorced my dad, she kept Solomon until she got remarried. The reason why she didn't go back to her maiden name was she was like, I've been a Solomon since I was 19 years old. I have two kids that are, like, I'm,
yeah.
And so, by me consciously making this decision to not do that before I had a child, I was able to kind of keep it that way. If I would have had a child with a married name, I would keep the married name. I would want to keep the
married
name.
You'd keep it.
Yeah.
I'm never changing my name again.
So yeah. if he sues you, you say bring it on.
I'm bring it on.
Yeah, a judge will laugh at him. Like, what is he suing you for?
Under what grounds?
Yeah, like what?
This is her legal name, like, okay?
Yeah.
So what if you remarried and your future husband, it was really important to him that you took his name. Would that be something you'd even consider?
It would be a long conversation. I'm really not in the headspace to change my name ever.
I was very...
And I wouldn't be able to for career reasons anyways.
Well, for career reasons, you can... like, so, like, I'm always going to be Kramer. I'll never be Jana Coffin career. Like, I'm not going to change it to Coffin girl. And you know what I mean? Like, right.
I demand you to change it to Coffin
girl. I will always be, you know, at Kramer girl. Like, Jana Kramer is my, like... So you can always go by... But legally, you could change your name back, but you can still go by...
That's true.
Yeah.
I guess I could.
So that's still your
that's
work name.
But that's the painful part.
I know.
It's so much easier.
Cards,
for, like,
everything.
Yeah. Like
bank accounts.
But it's really, I mean, it's yes and no. I mean, the only thing that I'm cost, I mean, yes, legally, and then for flights and stuff like that.
Right.
And yes, that was, it's always a change, a pain to change it. But again, you know, I still go by Kramer for so many things that I'm known as Kramer. And that's the only thing that really bothers you is when you get called Mr. Kramer.
Which was early in our relationship, but now I'm more, you know, a lot more stable in my own world that and comfortable that I'm like, all right, whatever, just embrace it. Like, I'm Mr. Kramer. But I mean, honestly, that was important to me when Jana and I first got together and we got married, was like, I understood like the whole stage name aspect, but for me, it was important.
Because I did debate not changing it.
She debated
because
not changing
I had
it.
Gone through the name change again with your husband, which we'll get to later. So.
Oh my God.
EC just goes, huh?
What? Wait,
we'll get
a
to
second.
That story later.
Oh,
this is,
yes.
Yeah.
No, so, it don't make sense.
We'll get there later. But I mean, again, I had to change. It's like, and that was when we were only married for like a week. But I mean, it's still, it's such an annoying process to have to change your name. And I'm like, God, like to do that again, it's, do I want to go through that hassle again? Because you're right. Even just with the freaking changing your airline number.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
And I've thought about if my husband's last name was easy to say and spell, like maybe one of these days.
Like Smith.
Yeah. Then I would like go through the process if it mattered to him and mattered to my son. But
he doesn't care.
They don't care. Yeah.
But you cared.
Yeah, I cared. And that was just something for me. I was like, you can be Jana Kramer on stage all you want, but legally, I would love for it to be on paper for us and our children to have the same last name. Right. That was just very important for me.
Did you ever consider becoming Michael Kramer?
Never.
I asked him.
I
asked him because Zoe Saldana did that with her her husband. And I said, now there you go.
Good for him. And he would never f***ing happen.
Michael.
Bleep.
Well, but again, like, why is that though? I mean, I understand your grandpa carrying on his lineage.
Right. That's the thing. I was the only Costin male for so long. Granted, I have my little brother, but it's up to my brother and I to keep the Costin name alive.
But who really cares? It's just a name.
Well, now you can change it.
But you'll have it now with your son.
Yeah.
Right. But again, it's just a name. Why does it really matter?
Because for a lot, especially it's super traditional, but that's like your legacy. Like right. for a lot of old traditional people, that's like your legacy. Your name, the name means a lot to a lot of people.
But why do we put so much value on a last name?
Because when you think about a last name, you think about a name.
I'm not saying wrong. I'm just debating.
You have thoughts of maybe that family. You have thoughts of those people. Like, oh, when you think of Kramer, you think of these attributes or these things.
I don't. But I mean, not really. Like the Kaufman Kramer, like both sides of my family, whether it's Rinaldi, like I don't think the Rinaldis, you know, my Aunt Susan and Uncle Roy are any less a part of my family because they have a different last name.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. It's just for some people, very traditional thinking is that there's something to a name and they take a lot of pride in that.
Well, I'm just curious how that's going to change the issue here. Well, yeah, issue
in my
here.
Situation.
Exactly.
Because it's
She's like,
a
can
very
we bring it
traditional...
back to my situation?
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is I understand the traditional, because that's really what it's coming down to here. Because it's an ethnic family. Layers and layers and layers of tradition when it comes to names. Everything is about the name.
And I get that. But because society is changing so much.
Right.
And I understand your grandpa, Kasim. I understand that. Hi. But why
did you change your name, Jana?
Because he made me. I really truly
want
to.
You made her.
I truly took her to
the courthouse and said, sign this.
Yeah. I truly, because I'm like, in this generation, who cares if I'm a Kramer, Costin, check this, that, whatever. Like, why can't I just be Jana? Like, why does it really truly matter in this day and age? Again, I'm not shaming people that change their name. Let me just say that.
Disclaimer.
But again, I do understand generationally. Yeah. But now that things are changing, I'm curious to see if that's going to change too, or people don't change their last name.
Yeah, I see more and more people not doing it in our generation than the generations before.
But having said that, I did debate his sister because his sister was talking about not taking her maybe soon to be husband's last name. And I was like, for me, I do want the same last name as my child. So I would have encouraged her to be a Kramer or whatever. But again, I'd like it to be my last name.
Well, and as far as everyone knows at school, I have the same last name as my child.
Right.
The doctors and the health insurance companies and the airlines know that I don't.
I would be interested to see if there is a situation where, like, maybe in your situation and you really wanted Rocco to take your last name. Like, where if... in the judicial system, if judges are just very traditional too, and like, no, that's just not happened. That's not what we do.
Maybe.
But with the change of times, maybe there is a judge that you can make a point for your child to take the mother's maiden name.
Could be, yeah.
Which would be really weird.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it hasn't been done. That's the only reason. It hasn't been done.
Okay.
Maybe.
How many
maybe
things
it has
have
been
not
done.
Been done though
but
now?
But it can't. It can
I'm not
feel
saying
weird.
It can't. I'm just saying it feels weird because it hasn't been done yet. I'm sure it will.
I'm a total chicken when it comes to being home alone, which is why I'm so happy that I finally sponsored up with ADT. But what I love and why I feel safe in my house now is because I have ADT. So ADT can design and install a smart home just for you. It's backed by 24/7 protection. And for me, that's huge because when my husband's gone and I'm home alone, it's just me and my little girl. And I want to make sure that we are safe and obviously soon to be a boy on the way. So I just want to make sure that our house is protected, we are protected, and that I can sleep through the night knowing everything is good. And even when I'm not home. So if I forget to close the garage door or if I forget to lock the doors, things like that, or this thermostat, those are also things that you can set up customization wise with ADT, which is fantastic. So ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices again, which is so, so, so great. So visit ADT.com/smart to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you. Feel safe. just like I do. Well, you know what? I'm really excited because we have Samantha Harris in studio.
Well, hello, hello, hello. This is the most fun room ever.
That's right.
That's
why
yes.
It took me to write a freaking book to come on. Is that what it took?
It was so funny because you Instagrammed me, said you were excited to meet me. And sometimes I don't know if it's someone else too.
Right.
Even though you had the check mark, but then I wrote you back and I was like, I'm so excited to meet you too. But no, I'm very genuinely like, I've loved you forever.
Thank you.
I think you're an incredible host. What you do is fantastic. You're beautiful. You're so sweet.
Thank you.
And I was pumped to have you in studio.
Hey, well, I'm excited to be here. Congratulations on your second baby.
Thank you.
So gorgeous.
You
have, seriously, like the most beautiful pregnant girl ever.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
We all hate her just a little bit.
No. Guys, what? Stop. Tell me a little bit more. Okay, I want to get to your book, but can we talk about cancer?
We can talk about, yes, that was the impetus for the book. So yes,
ask
away.
How did you find out?
So I was about to turn 40, more fit and healthier than I ever had been at the time, or so I thought. And I thought, you know, when you turn 40, you're supposed to get a jump on that mammogram thing. So let's, you know, set it up.
They're saying 35 now, though, right?
Everything changes because really it comes down, sadly, to your insurance.
Wow.
And there might be recommendations out there, but it comes down to your doctor and your insurance. So that's a topic for another day.
Okay.
But in my mind, it was 40. Set the baseline. I'm healthy. Let's get it while I'm healthy, right?
And this was how many years ago?
This was 4.5 years ago. I'll be 45 later this year.
Okay.
And I'm very happy for every new year that I get to turn. So.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Love that.
And, you know, and I set the baseline because my grandmother was a 30-year survivor postmenopausal breast cancer, which has no connection to mine. My dad died of colon cancer at 50. And so cancer had been in my family and I thought I've got a 3 and a 6-year-old at home. Hey, let's do this. Had a clear mammogram. It's exactly what I thought it would be clear. Mm-hmm. 11 days later, while I was changing after a workout class, I found a lump on the interior of my right breast. And I thought,
how did you, were you searching for it or just kind of like one of those? Because I don't ever feel my boobs.
You don't?
I don't either.
Okay. So, all right. This is my, if we take
nothing. Do you feel your boobs, Julie?
Every now and then, yeah.
Michael.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Michael, how about
it's
you?
It freaks me out. Sometimes it's about the men in your life.
It's all about me. I can take that rain.
A lot of pressure on you.
I got it.
I'm feeling them right now, actually.
I know, I am too.
Having this conversation. Right?
Come here, honey.
Okay, so but, you kind of
well,
ish,
look,
whatever.
I think, you know, breastfeeding really helped me become comfortable with touching my breasts and not just in the intimacy of my relationship, but, you know, but when you guys take off your bra after a long day, you aren't like, oh, circle it to the right, circle it to left, move these things around. Like,
yeah.
No, I just get into bed and pass out.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
I mean,
okay.
All
right, well, if you don't, my public service announcement is get in touch with your girls. Don't be afraid to fondle, feel, touch. You need to know your body, not just your breasts, but every part of it better than anyone else. And you can't rely on doctors to know your body because guess what? They see a lot of patients.
So anyways, you were taking your sports bra off. You found a lump in your right breast.
Yeah, you know, I'd been so compressed with the compression of a sports bra that I was like, oh, let's move these around. Wait a second. What is that? Well, that's weird. That has not been there before.
And you just had a clear mammogram.
And I, 11 days prior, had a clear mammogram. So, you know, I figured, you know what? I'm going to be vigilant. I'm going to call my OBGYN. She, you know, she's been touching my boobs since I was in my early 20s. Let's get her on this. She felt around, did a quick clinical exam, said, honey, I'm not worried about it. She's really always been a non-alarmist. She delivered both my kids, and I trusted my OBGYN more than any other doctor that I'd ever had.
Right. Did you go? Because I don't want to go there.
I'm kidding. I know. So I left her soon after that. And she sent me on my way. And then a month later, that same lump was there. And I thought, you know, I better get a second opinion. So I went to, this was my mistake. I went to see my internist. Now, you need to go to the doctor.
Internists are kind of, they're more
they're
holistic.
General. They're
general.
An internist is your general practitioner,
right?
Your main doc.
When you have a cold.
When you have a cold, when you need to go for your annual well checkup. So I went to see him and he did the same thing. Quick feel around. Looks good. If you're worried, we'll keep an eye on it. Sent me on my way. And 4 months later, only because.
God, you were so on top of it.
Well, you know, it's, you know, when you get, especially as a mom, you're juggling so much. And so for me, the reason I jumped from 2 months to 4 months before I finally went to see a surgical oncologist was because it was the holidays and it was my youngest third birthday. Like, it was just so much was going on. You forget. Yeah. You put yourself at the lowest end of the totem pole.
Right.
And our health, if we're not taking care of our own health, we're not going to be around to take care of those we are meant to take care of.
Right.
So self-care, which is a really big part of my book, Your Healthiest Healthy, and I know we're going to talk about the book in a little bit, but self-care is so essential, and I think that sometimes we feel, as women, guilty to care for ourselves.
100%.
So I went to see a surgical oncologist. I saw both her and one of her partners. I had two ultrasounds, a needle biopsy, then a subsequent MRI. And the crazy thing was that nothing detected cancer.
What?
What?
And that is a story that I keep hearing as I tell mine. More and more women say, that happened to me too.
So then how did you find
it?
Well, thankfully, because of the needle biopsy,
It
came back. She walked in the room and said, okay, I have the results of the needle biopsy. The pathology said, good news and bad news. The good news is it's not cancer, but it was. The bad news is, I don't know what it is. So you know what? It's a collection of irregular cells. Let's just take it out. So I had a lumpectomy.
Wow.
And this is where you really do want to go to a doctor who you feel is really, really good in their field. Someone who's done this time and time and time again. And she looks at breasts every day. She knows what she's looking for. And when she was in there for the surgery, she ended up taking out what she at the time thought looked like a little bit of extra healthy tissue, but she just wanted to sample it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did we find that I had ductal carcinoma in situ, which is breast cancer that is contained within the milk duct and thankfully not smart enough to get out of it. So if it had been that and only that, that would have been end of story, done, no worries, like had a lumpectomy, go on about my life. But that little tissue sample she took was invasive,
meant
it got smart. It got out of the duct.
Oh my God.
And it spread. And they said, oh, we caught it so early, had a double mastectomy, actually had gone to a lymph node. So all of a sudden my stage one early caught it, went to stage two. So the bottom line here is you have to be an advocate for your own health. You have to take care of yourself.
Well, that's so hard though when you have three doctors essentially being like, no, nothing's wrong. Yeah. You're fine.
Right.
A lump.
Just a lump. Right. Well, and again, thankfully, the surgical oncologist, who is the specialist in the field, at least listened to her own gut as a specialist. And I saved my life by getting to her, and she saved my life by going in and sampling something that she thought wasn't necessarily dangerous.
Wow.
And then I weighed, you know, do I want another lumpectomy with radiation for 6 weeks, or do I want to have a single or double mastectomy? And it is such a personal decision. Anyone out there who is living with a new diagnosis of breast cancer, you really have to learn all you can, weigh all of your options, and figure out what is best for you. And for me, I didn't want to be looking over my shoulder every day. So I wanted a double mastectomy. My breasts, thank goodness, were able to take me through my 20s with enjoyment, feed my kids, and give them the nutrition through breastfeeding that they needed. And they did the job they did and needed to do. And I had reconstruction.
Reconstruction.
I did. And you know, there are pros and cons about that as well. Mm-hmm. But you know, everything looks great in clothes. So there you go.
Right. Is that something that was, did you feel
I'm not
like,
going naked anytime soon.
No, but it was something your husband made you feel beautiful.
Yes. Yes. And you know, and that was even something that was, you know, challenging. And I go into it in the book about the intimacy and how a surgery like that changes you. And as a woman, I had to come to terms with my breasts are not my womanhood.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Did you start to feel like you weren't a woman?
It affected my psyche with my sexuality for a while. And my husband probably didn't start fondling them again for a good year, mostly because he was worried he was going to hurt me. I mean, I was bloodied and bandaged and bruised for a very long time. And I had the mastectomy with the first stage of reconstruction. And then 3 months later, I had the second stage of reconstruction where they take out the incisors and then they put in the permanent implants, which meant I was, you know, bedridden for 3 weeks without both surgeries, without being able to get out except for to use the restroom.
Wow.
And, you know, and then for 6 weeks each surgery, you had to really take it easy and not lift your arms up above your head or anything. So it, you know, it took a lot of time, and he was so incredibly caring and everything you would hope a partner would be throughout the process. But it definitely messes with your, you know, your psyche regarding your sexuality. And I'm grateful for that. You know what? We found ways to be physical that were new.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways it was sort of a gift because you have to explore things that maybe you didn't realize. He's like, yeah, let's explore lots of things that I didn't realize we could explore. So hey, that worked out, I guess. So it was definitely an eye opener for sure.
Wow. And so that's what encouraged you to write your book?
Not the sexuality issue.
The healthy ways.
So, you know, here I was, I thought I was so healthy and I was blindsided by a breast cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though I was blindsided, the diagnosis didn't devour me. Instead, it really ignited in me it compelled me to want to become the healthiest version of myself. And then once I started to gather the information, it was so eye-opening, and then I wanted to be able to share it with others, because Your Healthiest Healthy is really the guide that I wish someone so much had given me when I had been diagnosed, or ideally before I'd been diagnosed, because maybe I wouldn't have been diagnosed in the
first
place.
So what's the key points then of Your Healthiest Healthy for your book?
So first of all, changes in small steps, mm-hmm. because it can be very overwhelming to make any changes in your daily life, whether it's with your diet or with your friendships, because this is about very much getting the toxins out of your life.
So it's life. It's not just food. It's
correct. Right. Yeah. So it's eight chapters, and it's, you know, eight easy ways to take control, help prevent and fight cancer, and live a longer, cleaner, happier life. And the steps that you make to ideally prevent cancer are the same changes in your life that also help to mitigate your chances of heart disease and type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. and obesity that leads to so many other autoimmune disorders. So what I found when I leaned into my journalism background was that researching and speaking to experts and reading everything I could get my hands on, it became so clear to me that it's what you put in, on, and around your body. And around meaning not just the cleaning products, but the people. So mm-hmm. the book is really that guide taking you through, you know, how should we eat? How should we approach exercise? How do we get the toxins out of our beauty bag? I mean, we're all, you know, lovely ladies here who slap it on every day with the makeup and the eyes and the thing, right? So how do we get at least minimize the amount of toxins that are in our lives? My kids are, you know, they still crawl around on the freaking, I'm like, you're 11, you don't need to be crawling on the floor. She's still crawling on the floor. So mm-hmm. I want my floors to be clean with things that aren't going to endanger her. Or my other daughter who's crazy, she's more off bouncing off the walls. So I guess I have to clean the walls too. Maybe. I don't know.
How do you feel about dryer sheets?
Don't use them like I used to. Those are mm-hmm. one of the quick dryer ones to go. Sheets. I know. Really? And I do, mm-hmm. I do miss.
I'll put like three of them in there.
I do too.
So there are the good thing is there are great alternatives. I know. I did like. There are things in my old life that mm-hmm. I sometimes when I think I haven't thought about dryer sheets in a while, but I do miss that fresh out of the dryer smell. But guess what gives it that smell? Fragrance. And what's in fragrance? Well, guess what? They don't have to tell us because it's protected. So all of the toxins that are going in mm-hmm. to make that lovely smell, they don't have to, manufacturers don't have to reveal that. Even if they put the ingredients list on something.
Well, we spray fragrance like cologne, perfumes.
Essential oils are a much safer way to go for your body.
But isn't something always is going to cause this?
Always.
Or that?
And we can all throw up our hands and go, you know what? Something's going to get me. And that's, and if that's the way that you choose to take control of your life, that's okay. I want to give people an opportunity to understand, to understand what is out there. Mm-hmm. And it is eye-opening, and sometimes it's a little scary because obviously it's the reason they say ignorance is bliss. But at least once you know, then you can say, okay, I can deal with parting with red meat, or I can make sure to minimize it and choose grass-fed instead. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, their makeup, I have still not found a great waterproof makeup that is toxin free. So I still use the drugstore brands that I love, but I know that the rest of my entire makeup routine is clean. Mm-hmm. So you find that balance and what works for you. But if you don't have the knowledge, then you can't make those changes.
Doesn't that stress you out more though? Like I start to think about it. I'm like, I feel like we were talking about this actually, Julie, remember our girlfriend, we were talking about deodorant mm-hmm. and I was like, I don't want to wear, like I like Secret because I sweat a lot and then I stink and they're like, oh, get the like homeopathy. I'm like, but then that smell, then you stink.
How do you feel about deodorant? That was going to be my next question.
That's a big one for me. I use a La Vanilla now, which is a clean one. Because my whole thing is like, okay, but what's more annoying? Breast cancer or stinking?
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, then you say like, well, everything, people are like, oh, everything causes cancer. Yes, like if this or that or whatever. And it's like, then it's like, you're more stressful to try to cut everything out.
To me, I feel like change comes from action, not thought. Mm-hmm. So even if we're thinking, okay, well, everything can cause cancer. Okay, so what am I going to do about that? Am I just going to be like, okay, well, I'm just not going to do anything and cancer come get me?
Right.
Or am I going to take action with as much as I can without overwhelming myself, without overstressing myself, without putting myself in this glass castle where no one can touch me? Like I think there has to be a healthy balance and moderation of like, what can I do that's simple? Just little pivots, little
especially
tweaks.
Something you're putting on your body.
Well, because it goes right to like, your lymph nodes. Right there.
Well,
right
and,
there.
And that's actually, you know, with your healthiest healthy, that was one of the first things that I changed was my deodorant. Because
so
I
which
had
one
a lot
do you
of,
use?
I use one called Crystal Essence. There's also one called Stink Stop. There, here's the deal.
I'll try
your
it.
Body, mm-hmm. your body needs to sweat, and I sweat and I stink
so fast. Try,
well, you don't have to stink, but you do have to sweat because guess what? Your body needs you to sweat.
Yeah,
and by clogging up your and look, and I hate sweating, and I am like literally turning. It's like turning the faucet on.
If someone smells,
for me.
It is I'm the biggest same way. Thing. Like I will vomit.
Yeah.
Like,
so you don't have to smell, but you do.
Someone that
but
stinks.
here's why. Because think about it. If we don't really just isolate right now, the idea of deodorant, when you're stopping the sweating, you're hanging on to all the toxins that are in your body. Your body's not able to let it out. Uh-huh. So. Why does it cause breast cancer? Well, it may or may not. The mm-hmm. various studies negate it. Other studies support it. It could be, though, not necessarily that the chemical, the aluminum, which is what stops the sweat. And people for a long time thought, well, it's the aluminum that is keeping people from sweating. And then that's what's getting into the ducts and causing breast cancer. There hasn't been proof about that. Actually, I talk about it in the book that that's what it is. But what I'm also starting to understand is it could be that it's stopping your body from sweating, which is a lot, you know, disallowing the toxins from exiting your body as they need. Something else that, you know, that's it. First of all, it's a really easy swap.
Okay.
You won't smell, you will sweat. Mm-hmm. But the other thing
leave
is
leave it in your bag and just apply it. Like I apply the deodorant that I use twice a day.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's easy.
And I think I use Zari.
It's La Vanilla.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not promoted by them or anything
right.
like that,
right.
but they have, you know, it's just clean and easy. And
okay.
Well, here's an easy one for you to make a switch.
Okay.
Totally easy. Since we were talking about breasts, we might as well talk about vaginas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you happy about this? This
Let's
is good,
do it.
Good topic.
Happy to be here.
All right. Good. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So
tampons,
yes. pads, yeah. your lady bits, the skin there is so thin that it's incredibly permeable. So if what you're putting in and, you know, near and up it are have toxins in them.
We talk about Lola a lot on the
yeah.
show.
Oh, great.
I use
okay,
Lola.
Yeah.
I love the product.
And I have, mm-hmm. I mean, there are tons of, Rael is a great brand, NatraCare, mm-hmm. You know, Seventh Generation even makes, basically you want to look for 100% pure cotton, organic cotton. Mm-hmm. And something I actually discovered too, and this is better for the people who've already had kids, but the menstrual cups.
Oh, I can't do that.
I can't either.
That's what I thought.
I can't do it.
It's become my part-time best friend.
Really?
I can't do it. No
amazing.
Hate, no
I'm
shame.
Afraid.
I'm can't.
Afraid.
What is this?
It's a cup.
So it's a silicone cup, medical grade silicone cup that you kind of bend and fold so it's small enough to kind of get all up in there. And then it collects your menses. It's kind of disgusting. And I looked like a Jackson Pollock splatter painting when I took it out the first time.
No.
Did you guys want that visual? Are you guys
getting rid of that visual?
What's the difference between, I mean, like a pad, if someone wears a pad, it's
yeah,
all
but you
there.
Can't, like, it's not absorbed as well as
yeah.
the cup.
Well, what's neat about the cup is that, and again, I only use it when I'm going to be around the house or at night when there's going to be heavy flow and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, great, you know, no matter what I add for pads or whatever, I want to sleep yeah. in a tampon. That's not good. So it's helpful for just excess flow, but also it's nice because it costs nothing after you buy it. There's no upkeep besides wash and reuse. Mm. Make sure you wash it really well in really hot water. Soapy preferably. Soapy non-toxic.
Yeah, I was just going to say use a non-toxic yeah. soap.
All right. I know we got really personal. We dove really deep into like the
no,
really
it's
personal
good.
Part of your healthiest health.
It's part of our bodies.
I mean yeah, mm-hmm. it's true. And then for eating organic too, I mean, I know mm. I try to have organic stuff in the house, but I've also been told that some organic stuff is bad too for kids.
Well, if you're talking about a packaged good that says organic, no, you have to read the label. And I break down in the book all about how to read a label and what's important, because I think a lot of people look at an ingredients label for food and they look at the calories and the fat, maybe the sodium if their doctor said they got to watch that. But there's so much more to understand. Like, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people in this room know this, but maybe some people don't, that, you know, the ingredients when they're listed are listed from the most used ingredient to the least, maybe in trace right. amounts, right? So sugar is something that you really want to weed out of your diet as much as possible, but the manufacturers are very tricky. So they'll use 4 or 5 different things that are sugar, maltodextrin, sucrose, cane syrup, regular sugar. And when people are only looking for the word sugar might be the 17th thing on the list, but the other types of sugars will be the third and then the seventh. And then the, and so you have to be a little bit more aware. You can be more aware once you have the knowledge. But the question about organics, where it's really important is with your produce. So when you're buying fruits and vegetables, and obviously some people say, well, but that's organic fruit and vegetables. They're just so darn expensive. Mm-hmm. There's a great list.
So is cancer.
Right.
Like, true.
Thank you. But there's a website called Environmental Working Group. Do you guys know about this site? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great site. It's EWG.org. I have no affiliation with them other than they are like my go-to when I want to find out about chemicals that are in different beauty products or cleaning products. But also they put out a list every year of the most heavily pesticide used vegetables and fruits, and they call one list the Dirty Dozen and the other the Clean 15. And so basically they have a list all the way from number one to maybe 100, but the bottom 15 are the cleanest. So if you shop with that list and say, okay, the Dirty Dozen, apples, strawberries, grapes, you know, the list goes on. Okay, those are the things then you want to spend your money on for organic. Mm. And then go, okay, but you know what? The avocados and the asparagus, I can get that. But tomatoes, make sure I get them organic. So you have that knowledge of which ones need to be.
That's interesting.
And so same with your pasta sauces and your ketchups for your kids. I mean, they ketchup on everything.
Yeah, we're pretty, good at that. We try to do produce. Mostly organic,
yeah,
and everything like that. But
do y'all do meat? I always do meat organic.
Yeah,
110%. And you know, and thankfully, for those who live in cities with a Costco or even a Target, both of those bigger Walmart are starting to carry more and more organic goods. So I have a smoothie every morning, and so does my husband. And actually, now the kids are more. It's really exciting. But we buy these humongous bags of frozen organic strawberries and blueberries and whatever else, and we use them every day, and it's fantastic. And so that's a much better price than it used to be.
So where can our listeners find your book, Your Healthiest Healthy?
They can order it starting now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and really anywhere that books are sold.
Amazing. Samantha Harris, Your Healthiest Healthy. We're so glad that you are cancer-free and you're living your healthiest healthy.
Thank you
so
much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I know we talked about communicating through Instagram, and I'm just starting to use Instagram more and more, and I put a lot of tips also on my site, on my Instagram
handle. What's your Instagram handle?
At Samantha Harris TV.
TV. Okay. Awesome.
Couldn't get the real name just by itself. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Samantha.
She's so sweet. She's so vibrant and so full of life, which I absolutely love. But that's so scary to hear that she went that many times and still.
That's terrifying to me.
Like, how do you trust doctors? Like, nothing against them, but it's when you take your kids to the doctor now, it's like,
you gotta trust yourself first.
You trust your doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
You do. Trust your gut. You have to trust your gut.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. But I mean, even like when I went, this is not even close to the same example, but when I went in for my hernia check, I went in and saw just the regular. It was like the nurse practitioner, and she's like, oh no, it's nothing. It's just the pressure from whatever. And then I go to the next doctor. She's like, oh, that's a hernia. And I'm like, why is it not the same? Why didn't she say that? Cause if not, I wouldn't have known. And then had someone else.
But you knew something
checked.
Was off. Like you knew it in your gut. Like, this
right.
Is
but
not
I
right.
could have, but anyone could just listen to someone else and be like, oh, well the doctor said.
True.
Yep.
You know, right. And then they don't go again.
And that's what most people do.
Because if you go again, then you're the crazy person for thinking that something's like right. You're a hypochondriac.
You're paranoid.
Yeah.
You're,
the doctor already said nothing's wrong with you. You don't have a hernia. You don't have a lump. Like, you know, like again, my girlfriend, Rachel, she found a lump and the doctor said nothing, but it was just a lymph node. But again, like who knows? Do you trust that one or do you go again and ask again?
I think with something, especially when it comes to like lumps on you and stuff like that, I feel like the standard should just be you get to at least two opinions. Even if you go to a doctor you trust, it's like, let me just go check with somebody else that doesn't even know me.
It's so tough though when you get good news. You're like, oh, whew.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great. It's not a hernia.
Yeah, it's easy just to write it off.
I had a lump under like in my armpit. That I kept feeling for a couple of weeks, and I was just like, oh, that's weird. And I mentioned, and I didn't think anything of it. And then I mentioned it to someone, and they were like, oh my God, you have to go to the doctor immediately. I was like, what? Oh my God. So I went, and they were like, oh, it's nothing. You know, don't worry about it. You probably have something clogged. And it didn't go away. It didn't go away. And I was just like, I have to go back. And I went back, and it ended up being nothing.
Mm-hmm. But who knows? It could have been something.
It could have been something really serious.
That's just so scary. It's like, how do you trust the doctors?
Right.
Okay, one of the things that my husband and I love right now is Beachbody On Demand. It's fantastic because we both get to get the greatest workouts. My husband does the P90X, and then I love the Brazil butt lift. And you can do Pyo, hip-hop abs, three-week yoga retreat. There's so many things. So whatever you're looking for, whether it's from hip-hop to yoga to P90X, you can basically pick out whatever workout, exercise, regimen that you want that works for you. So I think that is amazing. So the trainer that I know Mike uses a lot is Sean T. So what's great about Beachbody On Demand too is it doesn't require any extra equipment and it's only 25 minutes a day. So when you say you don't have time, I know you got 25 minutes. My listeners can try Beachbody On Demand right now, absolutely free. So what are you waiting for? Just join over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. Right now, my listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text Jana to 303030. You will get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text Jana 303030. Okay, so we have KJ Del Antonia on the phone. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you? You're in studio with a bunch of people, but we got Jen, producer Jen here, and then my husband, Michael.
Hello, KJ.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
You wrote a book called How to Be a Happier Parent.
Yes.
And you're a mother of four.
I am the mother of four.
Were you just like, I'm so unhappy, so I just need to like do something to make me like...
I need to convince myself that I can be happy?
Change your process?
Well, I was, at the time I tried to write this, the parenting columnist for the New York Times. So I was interviewing, I was editing, I was reporting on all things around family. And as well, I was living it. You know, I had these four young kids, I had a full-time job, so did my partner. And what we were experiencing, which is that we spent more time running around on behalf of our family than we did sort of treasuring them and having fun, you know, sort of enjoying it, was also what I was seeing and what I was hearing from the people that I was editing and interviewing. Just that everybody was really struggling with sort of, you know, under joy and overwhelmed.
Well, I feel like it's hard too, because I know I talked to, you know, my girlfriends. You know, they're, it's like, this kid has cheer camp, this kid has soccer, this, and it's like, you guys are almost like passing. So it's like, how do you be happier when you need to do the functions that you want to do for your kids, but yet it's, I don't know, like, what's the line for that?
Well, I think we get really caught up in this idea that we need to do all the things.
Well, we do though, don't we? Because I'm like, I want Jolie to go to soccer on Sundays.
Right.
I want her to do ballet. I want, you know, the baby boy coming up to be able to do his, you know, whether he plays hockey or golf or whatever. So it's like, it's not like, because what, we just don't put them in activities?
Yeah, no activities at all. No. you know, there is a balance. And one of the things that's happening right now, if you look, like if you have a daughter in dance and you're looking at it and going, man, I remember doing dance. I don't remember it being like this overwhelming. I don't remember there being so much of it. And objectively, you're absolutely right. Activities and sports have really gamed up. They are more overwhelming than they used to be. The expectations are higher. The opportunities are greater. And so it's easy to get caught up in feeling like that's the way that it has to be. There's also just sort of more out there. So,
right.
You know, and we want our kids to do it, right? Because it sounds super fun. And I want to take cartooning class and dance lessons and play hockey and do all the things. But the reality is that our kids, as well as we, need some space to sort of grow and think and be on our own and sort of have some downtime. And we often really kind of fill that up in the name of all the fun things.
So, KJ, do you believe in limiting your children to an extent where maybe they you don't allow them to do every single activity, where maybe one year they have to supplement one that they want to do and give up another for a year to test it out? Is that something that you're kind of, you know, suggesting?
Yeah, my kids kind of get a little self-limited because there are four of them, and there's, you know, there's only two of us.
Right.
So there's only so much that they can do. And we really, as they get older especially, we talk to them about it. If my kid comes home and says, you know, I want to play baseball and do soccer this spring, I will say, yeah, and you also, you know, like to have a day of the week when you can have a friend over after school, or you can go to that friend. If you do both of those things, you're going to lose that time. And we try to balance. I mean, do I say no? Absolutely. But I also try to work with them to strike a good balance.
So do you think just time management then is one of the biggest things to be a happier parent?
Yeah, and time management, but also being aware that you don't need to manage all the time. Let's leave some of it empty.
Go ahead,
Jen.
I wanted to, talking about being a happier parent, I woke up about 8 times last night because my 6-year-old sleeps in bed with me. And he was like suffocating me. He was 100 degrees. It was like, I was so hot.
But you like him sleeping in bed.
Well,
because to me, I'd be like, again, I'm not shaming like co-sleeping, mm-hmm, but yeah. That's something Michael and I could never do.
Okay, so.
It does not work for us.
After last night, I almost went and slept in his bed. And I was like, something has to change. What is your best advice to parents who co-slept and now it's time? It's time to move them into their own room.
Well, that is definitely going to be a gradual process, right?
And maybe, because he's probably so attached now to you and to that, you know, that situation.
Yeah, maybe you're right that going to sleep in his, you know, maybe you start the night off in his bed and yourself out gradually. Maybe you got, you know, you're like, tonight's going to be your trial run. You're going to get in the bed for half an hour and then I'm going to come in and join you. You know, I think you're going to have to maybe work with him and talk to him about what you're doing so that, you know, he's both excited. It's fairly so he doesn't feel like it's a loss, you know, so it's like a good thing for you both.
Has to be more of an adventure, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're, I mean, sleep is hugely important. You're probably not either of you getting your best sleep.
Right.
And then, I have another great idea for you. Get one of those blow-up mattresses. This is just totally practical. Like the inflatable twin size.
Mm-hmm.
I had one that actually, like, it had edges and then it sunk down in the middle. And then we called it the nest. And we kept it under our bed. And whenever a child needed to come in the middle of the night, they could crawl into the nest.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it was always there. It was always out. I mean, this is up to, like, we still get it out when that's it. So, you know, if they need it, but then they're not in the bed with us, which, like you said, it's hot and they kick and one of them's, like, sleeping with a windmill. So, you know, but they're there and they know they're welcome.
Right. That's a great, thank you so much. That's great advice.
KJ, going back to time management real quick, when you have, especially a family of 4 children and you and your husband, do you guys feel obligated to be at every event for your kids? Or is that something where, you know, to kind of keep y'all's relationship healthy where, hey, mom and dad aren't going to be there for this thing because we're going to have some time for ourselves. Is that something you consider?
We can't be at everything because there's 4 of them and only 2 of us. So they're kind of aware of that.
Right.
And they're aware that some of the time, you know, we're not going to be the one to drive them. They're going to have to get a carpool. They're going to have to get a different ride. It's just the way that it's going to work.
For sure. Now, going on a more personal level for Jana and I, what we're about to deal with, you know, we have our 2.5-year-old and we have a son on the way who's due in the end of November. What kind of tips or advice do you have for us for really, you know, welcoming, you know, helping our daughter welcome the new baby into the house, into her world that she's only known with just her mom and dad?
Well, the biggest tip is to let it be okay that she's not thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be thrilled. This is, you know, this is going to happen. It's going to be a change. Sometimes she can be excited and delighted, and sometimes she can say, you know, I don't want this. I don't want another baby. I hate that baby. That baby ruins everything. And that's okay. Like, the fact that you are okay with her feeling that way is going to make it easier for her. She can have those feelings, then they can pass, and then she can feel loving towards the baby again, and it'll all be good.
Why do you think siblings should fight? I saw that in your thing where you said it's actually a good thing.
It's more that I think that they will, and that it's good. That it's good that they.
I don't like my memories of fighting with my brother. I don't know how that served us a good purpose because I look at my cousin's relationship and even they maybe like fought a little bit, but they have a great relationship. Not saying my brother and I have a great relationship now, but as a kid, like, I mean, he was so mean to me. So I'm like, and then on top of that, like what my parents had to deal with because of us fighting.
Think it's a joy, that is for sure. It's more that if your kids are doing this and experiencing it, to be aware that they are, that they're getting something out of it. So, you know, you're sort of learning that not every relationship is going to be great, that they're jostling, that you can, and one of the things that I think you learn is sort of that you can fight and then you can be okay afterwards. So that's, right. You know, it's a good lesson.
KJ, where can our listeners find you?
KJDelAntonio.com. The book is How to Be a Happier Parent, and you can pretty much buy that anywhere.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, KJ.
Bye. Okay, so I got turned on to Sugar Bear Hair from my girlfriend, Sarah, who's been on the podcast. She loves Sugar Bear Hair because not only is it just incredibly good for you to take, your hair looks awesome. And I remember I'd always ask her, I said, does it really work? And she says, oh, yes, it works. It's so amazing. Well, I'm telling you, my hair has never looked better. So each little gummy is as much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli, as much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries, and as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs. The Nutrients and Sugar Bear Hair fans also found their nails and skin quality improve over time. So I love that. Go to sugarbearhair.com/Jana for beautiful hair and healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/Jana. sugarbearhair.com/Jana.
Yeah, hi, Julie. I need this story.
Hi. So we kind of touched on it a little bit. For those of you listening.
I got like 10 more minutes and I'm out of here. I've heard this story, but it's a good one.
Where are you going?
I got to go to work.
Oh, God. Oh,
I know. Work. I'm still doing that.
So, Julie, let me just to catch Easton and Mark and Jen up. Michael obviously knows the story. Her husband is my ex-husband.
Yes.
So
wait a second. I'm so confused. Wait, what?
So I was married to her husband, Jonathan Check.
Yes. This story. Got it.
So yeah. And this is his beautiful wife.
Hello.
And she's also my best friend.
Yeah.
And we have like family parties and get togethers and, you know, Mike and Jonathan
they're our closest friends here in Los Angeles.
That's
sure.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, their son, Camden, is Jolie's best friend. Tendon.
They go to the same school.
They're technically siblings because that's the only way that Jolie was able to get into the school.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Talk about name changes.
I know, right? But no, so I met Julie. Well, I knew of Julie because...
she stalked me on Instagram. I did stalk.
I mean, whoever... People always stalk ex-girlfriends. It's just going to happen. I mean,
ex-girlfriends.
I mean, or girlfriends. Sorry. Okay, or but also ex-girlfriends.
I was like, wait, is there another layer to this story?
You know, I've stalked like all my boyfriends, exes, girlfriends, right. Whatever. It's just what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it's just the rite of passage for a girl to be able to stalk, you know, the other people and be like, but then you're like, oh, they're prettier, whatever. But anyways, so I knew that Jonathan had moved on and that he was dating this girl named Julie. But this is an interesting story. I was dating someone in the country world. I'm not going to say his name. We'll just call him Cowboy. And
Old Yeller.
So
That's not a compliment, right?
I'm living in East Nashville. And at midnight, Jonathan and Julie show up at my house in East Nashville, which, mind you, is like not like the safest place. It's kind of like it's safe, but it's like also kind of sketchy too, East Nashville. So they show up at my house and Old Yeller comes up and he's like, your ex-husband's at the door. And I'm like.
Sounds like a country Western.
Yeah. And I was like, what? I'm looking at the time, like, it's midnight. He wants to talk to you. And I was like, tell him to leave. Like, this is midnight. So Julie and Jonathan show up at my house. Would you like to?
Yeah, well, it was late, so I will say that. I don't think we really paid attention to the time. I don't think it was midnight,
it was
like 11-ish.
Okay.
It was late.
That's midnight.
But I think we just, like, we didn't know that he was going to be there, obviously.
Old Yeller.
Yeah, and it wasn't supposed to be this, like, dramatic, crazy thing. I think that, like, John just
I had written an email to Jonathan. So here's my thing with ex-boyfriends, whatever. I wrote an email saying something had happened to someone in his life and I expressed my dearest sympathy because I don't like negative energy out there. How John and I ended wasn't good. We're obviously amazing now. He's you know, he's incredible. He's for, you know, he's like my acting coach. We run sides together. He's part of the family. You know, basically we do dinners, like we said, but, at the time we didn't have a good like ending, and I just don't like that energy out there. So I emailed him being like, hey, I heard something happened and I'm really sorry. I hope you're well. So that was just my nice
olive
offering.
Branch.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to retrieve that olive branch, but the energy with the person that
Old
met
Yeller.
Us at the door.
Old mm-hmm. Yeller like pulled a gun on them.
Yeah, it was, it kind of, the dynamic got shifted pretty quickly and dramatically. Because we, I mean, it was not our intention to be there in a negative light or to be there in a hostile light at all. But we were met with this really intense energy.
Well, I mean, yeah, again, but it's like, it's midnight. Who shows up that late? So
it was like, whose idea was it to show up that late?
Yeah.
Like when Jonathan was like, hey, I want to go over here and
yeah, like
this.
I think, yeah, I think it was both of ours. Like,
were you guys at the bar? Like, yeah. Was this?
No. No. But we, yeah, it wasn't like a drunken thing that we meant to go late. It was later than we probably should have. I think that we didn't realize how late it was. We weren't paying attention to that.
So, yeah. So Old Yeller like pulls a gun. They had a hard time understanding. God. He's like, what did he say? He's like, we don't get off my property. And then Julia's like, what he said was, if we don't get off his property, like,
yeah, I could understand what he was saying because I grew up in Tennessee. And so my family there, you know, I have family that are, you know, very rural and, you know, speak with that southern drawl. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking and Jonathan, I could just start to see like his brow furrow. And he was just kind of like, I could tell I was like, he has no idea what he's saying. And so then John goes, what'd you just say? And I was like, he said that if we don't leave right now, we're going to have a problem. So we did. We ended up leaving. And then I don't even remember.
So we ended up leaving. And then we met again at the Jay DeMarcus from Rascal Flatts does this wine charity thing.
For Make-A-Wish.
Yeah. And she was there. We officially met. She was very sweet. And she was really, really nice. And then it wasn't until I did Dancing with the Stars 2 years ago. When and that's when Jonathan had reached out and was just like, you know, if you need anything, you know, Julie. And I said, I could really use the help. You know, I don't know how long we're going to be here for Dancing with the Stars. Do you guys have like a crib or a pack and play I could borrow? Because Julie was only 6 months. And Julie was so sweet. I mean, she was just like, yeah, this is Camden's old crib. Here's this. Here's that. And she just became a best friend 2 years later. Now we're like besties.
Mm-hmm. Kismet.
It's worked out like so beautifully, but I always love telling the story to people because I mean I was only married to Jonathan for like a week, so it
well,
wasn't like a
think
real
that it's
marriage
weird for for us or anyone who's going to be friends with like a new spouse or a new girlfriend,
right.
New boyfriend. Like everyone automatically thinks that should be weird because you should just automatically hate each other. But the way that I look at it, I have like that has nothing to do with me. I didn't even know Jonathan existed or Jana existed. Like I'm not part of that relationship that was a decade ago. And I know me and Mike are so glad that they didn't work out because now we have, right. You know, this, we have amazing, beautiful children that we all equally love and support. Mm-hmm. And, I think it all just kind of works. And it's funny. We were actually last night with, Jana and I have a mutual friend named Sarah Boyd. Sarah Boyd's best friend is Kat Sadler from E! News. Sarah Boyd's husband is also Kat Sadler's ex-husband, Kyle Boyd. And so Sarah and Kat are really, really close. And so we were talking to Sarah how, you know, we have kind of that similar connection that Sarah and Kat are really close and Jan and I are really close. And so I think that it's just a matter of really, you know, being an adult. Mm-hmm. And realizing
and the awkwardness is out now. Like I feel like 2 years ago when, you know, when my mom came for dancing, she's like, oh, this is weird. I'm like, but it's not weird. Like now we're,
right.
It is what it is now.
Yeah. If it's weird for other people, then that's their own.
That's their issue.
Stuff.
It'd be weird if the timelines cross each other, right?
True.
You know what I mean?
That
then,
would be weird.
Then I can understand where there's trust issues or it's
like
weird.
Like if you were the reason why I left John or something like
that.
Yeah.
That would be one thing that I can understand. But like Julie said, she didn't even
years.
Know.
Years. I mean,
of
yeah,
guys.
Like years had gone by.
It doesn't even matter. So
yeah,
there's no
so many
relation.
Years. And you guys
there.
Married, what, 5 years?
We've been married for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't even like, you were withdrawn. Like, that's just so, like, you
I remember
even
being
see
a
us.
Kid and watching That Thing You Do in like 1996 and like,
a good movie.
Loving that movie. And now, you know, that's John. I'm like, I knew you when I was like 10. Hi, John.
I knew you.
Hi, Dad.
But, like, you don't see us together. You know what
no.
I mean? It's like, yeah.
Not
it's,
at all. It's Julie and John. It's you and me. And
he's amazing. I wish he was here.
He's the best.
I do, too. He's so sweet.
He's the best.
Yeah. But can you please tell us about what you do? Because you have really taken the influencing market and just blown it up.
Yeah. So my background is in PR. I worked in New York and Nashville.
You have the influencer podcast.
I do have the influencer podcast now. Worked in PR and then kind of evolved as this influencer space has evolved and as marketing, digital marketing specifically, has evolved. So started the influencer podcast about 2 years ago. And, you know, we have listeners in over 165 countries. It's been downloaded millions of times. It's wow. just really took off when that influencer space took off. We really, with that podcast, it's more of a tactical education-based podcast. We really teach bloggers or influencers or aspiring bloggers and influencers how they can up-level their online influencing.
And right now
business.
You have a webinar.
I do. So I have a new program coming out called the Influencer Academy. We're going to have some free videos and webinars with that. So anyone cool. who's interested in either starting an online influence or wanting to grow that, they can go to theinfluenceracademy.org and get that information.
What is the best thing what's the best advice that you can tell someone, like, if you're wanting to start?
I mean, I would say, I think a lot of times, especially in the influencer space, and, you know, we'll just use Instagram as an mm-hmm. example, that people just think that it's something that just kind of happens to people, right? Like, they become instantly Insta-famous because they, you know, they're half-naked in a photo, or they go on The Bachelor, or, you know, they're sitting front row at Fashion Week.
And now they're doing hashtag ads.
And now they're doing hashtag ads. And, you know, yes, do those things happen? Sure. But that is like a 0.5% out of the entire influencer. I mean, there's like 8 billion people in the world. 3 million of them are bloggers and influencers. So, you know, not 3 million people have gone on The Bachelor, or not mm-hmm. 3 million people sit front row at Fashion Week. So I think that it's really about thinking of it and seeing it as a business, and also realizing that a business does not happen overnight. It takes time. It takes strategy. It takes coaching. It takes mentoring. It takes really wanting to do it and having like that resilience and that endurance to want to grow anything, whether you want to be a doctor or an influencer. Like, you're going to have to do the work.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest misconception that a lot of people get. They see, you know, a lot that word influencer has a lot of negative connotation to it, because they're like, oh, these girls just woke up like that and they're putting hashtag ad on a post and making all of this money. And they're like, yeah, but that is how they grow their business. But there's a lot that happens behind the scenes that you're not seeing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's kind of like someone who goes to a Broadway play and they're like, oh, I could do this because I've seen a couple of them.
Right.
It's like, no, I mean, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes to actually make the show go on.
And say your handle again.
It's at Jules, J-U-L-S, Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N.
And to get the webinar?
TheInfluencerAcademy.org.
Thanks for being here, Jules.
Thanks for having me.
Love
so
you.
Nice to meet you.
Love.
Mark, do you have an email for us, Dan?
I do. It's Thanks. From, she just calls herself C.
C.
Hey, C.
C.
Hey, C.
I was 20, she says, by the way, in response to last week's episode, I was 23 when I lost my virginity. Not because I didn't want to lose it before then, I just didn't care. I'm 28 now. My number is 3. No regrets. Okay. This leads
Good
me to
you.
My question. I don't really date. Not that I wouldn't. I just haven't found the one. But I want kids so bad. Since I can remember, I've wanted them. But at 25, mm-hmm. I really started thinking about doing artificial insemination at 30. Is that too young? And from a guy's perspective, would that freak you out if a future girlfriend did this? By the way, I'm not cutting off all men. I just know they're not showing up and I want babies.
Well, are you showing up? Because you said that you're not dating.
Right.
Well,
he is not going to knock on the door while you're sitting yeah. on the couch on
the
a Netflix binge.
The perfect man's not
going
to, you know, fall mm-hmm. down from the sky.
I mean, this right. day and age, it's really hard to find. I mean, well, there's social media.
There's lot to unpack here in this email, though.
There is. And listen, motherhood is not easy. And if you're going to do it on your own,
having,
I mean, hats off to you. Like, if you want to go all in, I have one of my son's friends, his mother, this is, you know, the route she took, and I respect her for it, but it is exhausting to not have any help, and I see it in her face every single day.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure. I can't even imagine, you know, single moms, and you know what, I can't imagine that. Having said that, I had made a pact to myself, if I was 35 and did not have a perspective
partner.
Prospect. If I was 35 and did not have a prospect, I would have done a donor.
But 35, I get.
Right. So what my advice to C would be, like, wait, put your, really, truly put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
then
I want to know
35.
Like what's going on though, because I feel like there's just deeper stuff here.
But
like,
I don't. But I disagree.
Like, it's like this external 30, validation of needing to feel loved. So it's like I'm just going to go have a kid because
I disagree with you. Because when I was 30, I was like, I want, and that's what I said. My fault was I moved too fast in my relationship with Mike because I wanted a kid. I wanted to have a baby. And it wasn't because I needed to feel love or this or my, yes, I've gotten my purpose from being a mother and from those things. But at the same time, I just want to be a mom because that is what I feel like my true passion in life is supposed to be.
And I get that. But rushing it at 25 when you haven't even dated anyone.
But she's saying 30 though. Isn't she?
She's targeting 30. She's 28 right now.
Yeah.
I say freeze your eggs. Give it 5 years.
Give it time.
And
and put yourself out there. Yeah. Go date people. The whole thing, she was like, I just don't want to date because I haven't found the one. Well, you're not going to find the one unless you date some people.
Yeah. Make it your job. That's what my sister did.
Mark, what do you think from a guy's perspective? Like if she had a kid. Mm-hmm. I feel like in this day and age, though, too, if you're 30 and a lot of people have kids.
Well, look, as a single mom, you're going to take certain guys out of the pool just because certain guys aren't going to be interested in that. Yeah. But I don't think it makes any difference if you're a single mom from a previous relationship or if because of artificial insemination. I don't think it makes much difference to the guy.
Yeah.
Agreed. I agree.
So a huge thank you to ADT. Visit ADT.com/smart to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you. FabFitFun, use promo code JANA to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code JANA to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Beachbody On Demand, thank you so much, all of my listeners. You will get a full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support. Just text JANA to 303030. And thanks to Sugar Bear Hair for making my hair amazing. Go to sugarbearhair.com/JANA for beautiful hair and healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/JANA. sugarbearhair.com/JANA. Well, this has been a fun pack show.
Yeah.
Thanks, C.
Wow.
Good luck on that. I support you. These little naysayers over here.
No, I support her her decision and wanting to explore her options.
But date. Freeze your eggs. Go out and date.
All right. Well, I love you guys. I'm excited to wind down next week. Bye.
Can't wait. Bye.